KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy to cloudy skies, 47 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy today, a high around 66. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. An Omaha-based speech pathologist has surrendered his license in Iowa after a state board accused him of documenting services for times he was not present. The Omaha World Herald reports Brandon Mays worked for a company that served nursing and rehabilitation centers in western Iowa. After he was terminated from his job, the company reimbursed the facilities more than $20,000 because of Mays' questionable treatment records. The paper says, according to the Iowa Board of Speech Pathology and Audiology, the documents recorded problems with record keeping and billing in 2011. Mays documented providing services at centers when he was not present. He was clocked into centers in Iowa while providing services for another employer in Nebraska. He also billed for treatment of a patient who had recently died, but no clinical notes for those sessions were found in the patient's medical records. As part of an agreement the Iowa board approved in March, Mays voluntarily surrendered his license, which the documents say has the same effect as a revocation. He's agreed not to practice speech pathology or represent himself as an Iowa-licensed speech pathologist. Mays is one of three speech pathologists licensed in Iowa to be publicly punished by the board in the past 5 years. He may request reinstatement of his license after a year. Mays' license in Nebraska expired in December, according to that state's records. A public hearing will be held April 8th in Atlantic at 8:45 a.m. on a request from the Cass County Public Safety Communications Commission to institute proceedings to secure an essential county purpose loan for the purpose of equipment for the Communications Center at 705 Poplar. The loan would amount to $324,000. The hearing will take place as part of the Cass County Board of Supervisors' regular meeting next Wednesday. The date of the hearing was set during the Supervisors' Board meeting held Tuesday morning here in Atlantic. In other business, the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday agreed to accept a quote of $41,683 from Access Systems for the replacement of a courthouse telephone system. During their meeting next Wednesday, also, the Cass County Supervisors will act on a resolution approving the Comm Center equipment loan and on a request from Nishtha Valley Trails for $50,000 from the County Local Option Sales Tax Fund to help pay for the troublesome Creek Connector Trail project. The Atlantic Police Department on Wednesday reported three recent arrests. Officials say 36-year-old Kimberly Ruiz of Atlantic was arrested Wednesday morning on a fifth-degree theft or shoplifting charge. And on Tuesday, 35-year-old Joshua Lillard of Atlantic was arrested for domestic abuse assault. And 23-year-old Alex Garside of Atlantic was arrested for criminal mischief in the fourth degree. All three were booked into the Cass County Jail. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports two people were arrested Wednesday on separate charges. Just before 10 p.m., 31-year-old Marcus John Josephson of Red Oak was arrested on charges stemming from an accident that took place March 18th in Red Oak. Josephson faces a charge of OWI drugged first offense. He was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on $1,000 bond. And at around 9:30 last night, 37-year-old Justin James Smith of Villisca was arrested on a domestic abuse simple assault charge following an investigation into an incident that took place in the 100 block of North 4th Avenue in Villisca. Smith was being held without bond this morning in the Montgomery County Jail. A Red Oak woman was arrested Wednesday morning for alleged credit card fraud. Authorities say 32-year-old Jessica Lynn Apley was taken into custody just before 9 a.m. and brought to the Montgomery County Jail, where she was being held on $2,000 bond. A videotaped interview with Iowa police officers reveals that a Georgia man admitted that he killed his former roommate in 2009. The video that aired in court Wednesday shows 55-year-old John Green talking with Sac City authorities in 2014 after they tracked him to Florida. Green is charged with first-degree murder in the death of 58-year-old Mark Koster of Sac City. During the interview, Green told police he was watching a show on his computer when Koster came at him with a baseball bat, angry over how Green had prepared their dinner. Green said he then strangled Koster out of self-defense. Koster was declared missing in 2010. His remains were found buried in the basement of his home after the new owners began renovations. A man from southern Iowa was arrested Tuesday night on a Union County warrant. 27-year-old Devin Douglas Logue of Sheraton was arrested on a warrant for theft in the second degree. Logue was picked up in Wayne County and was being held in the Union County Jail without bond until an appearance before the magistrate. The Natural Resources Commission, or NRC, of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources will meet on April 9th at 8:30 a.m. in Harlan at the Nishna Bend Recreation Area. On April the 8th, the local DNR Fisheries and State Park staff will give the commissioners a presentation at the Nishna Bend Rec Area before departing for a field tour of Prairie Rose State Park and the Lake Restoration Project. The field tour and presentation will take place between 11:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. The meeting, presentation, and tour is open to the public. Officials of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society Upper Midwest Chapter say the annual MS auction at Atlantic's Fireside Lounge held Friday, March 6th, raised nearly $15,000 to support the organization, bringing the event's 19-year fundraising total to more than $225,000. Over the last two decades, the funds have helped to provide life-changing programs and services for people living with MS in Iowa and across the Upper Midwest, as well as funding cutting-edge research for the disease. National MS Society Upper Midwest Chapter President Holly Anderson says, "We were immensely grateful to Mark Fagan for his passion and leadership for these past 19 years, not to mention the outstanding generosity of the Atlantic community. Events like these," she said, "are truly helping to change the world for people with MS and end the disease forever." Event organizer Mark Fagan has expressed his appreciation to the Atlantic community for supporting the event, of which 100% of the proceeds are directed to the National MS Society Upper Midwest Chapter. In addition to all those who attend and donate each year, many local businesses and individuals have played a critical role in the auction's continued success, from donating advertising and auction items to helping with event planning and execution. Multiple sclerosis, an unpredictable and often disabling disease of the central nervous system, interrupts the flow of information within the brain and between the brain and the body. Symptoms range from numbness and tingling to blindness and paralysis. You can learn more at nationalmssociety.org. An effort to keep two state mental health facilities open longer remains alive in the Iowa legislature, although lawmakers acknowledge it may not prevent some employees from losing their jobs. A House Appropriations Subcommittee approved a bill Wednesday that would require facilities in Clarinda and Mount Pleasant to remain open until a commission approves a transition plan for the closings. Closings are set to happen this summer, although layoffs in at least one facility are scheduled by April 6th. Lawmakers acknowledge the bill may not get to Governor Branstad in time, and they weren't sure what would happen. The Senate passed the bill following criticism that the closings would be too sudden. Branstad has said the facilities are outdated and there are other treatment options for patients. Legislation that would make sweeping changes to Iowa gun laws have been resurrected in the House, with lawmakers using a separate bill to revive several key provisions. The House Judiciary Committee voted 19-2 on Wednesday for the bill, which would allow suppressors to silence weapons. An amendment added changes that mirrored a comprehensive gun bill that appeared dead in the Senate, although a provision to remove a de facto three-day waiting period on a permit to acquire a handgun was removed. The proposed changes would still include a provision that would allow children under the age of 14 to use a handgun with a parent's supervision. Senate leadership has indicated that it would not support legislation similar to the comprehensive bill, and it's unclear if the compromise made Wednesday is different enough. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.